talking about today. We're in a series called Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, walking with the Spirit. That actually the Greek word for in is also used for by. So it's kind of, but that's what we're talking about, is responding to the Holy Spirit. Last week, Matt Erbaum, one of our elders, taught me. He put up the scripture in Galatians 5 on the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, and you can see those nine things. And I thought we'd do something. I want you to pull out your phone, okay? Pull out your phone. Go to the next screen for me. And what we're going to do is I want you to text. Come on. No, come on. Oh, there we go. Okay. I want you to text the word Crossbridge to the number 37607, okay? Just type Crossbridge. I'm going to do it with you, okay? If you're watching us online, you can do this too, okay? 37607, right? And then Crossbridge, text that in there. Oh, turn off airplane mode. Anyway, y'all do it. You got it? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick out of those nine things, those nine aspects of the Spirit of God, which one you wish you, okay. You got it. Which one do you wish you had more of? Come on. It's responding to people that are coming. Nobody wants to be kind. Nobody gives a rip about being kind. Forget faithfulness. We don't want faithfulness. You know what? How many of you thought patience would be number one? Oh, okay. Two of us. Way to go. All right, so that's what you all need to get on to, is patience. So we're talking about walking in the Spirit. But, you know, walking in the Spirit, you can understand. You understand more about that than you may think you do. Like if I said to you, hey, you want to go for a walk? I wouldn't be inviting you to come outside with me so I could run ahead with you, right? If I say, hey, you want to go for a walk? I'd be saying, hey, you want to stay with me? You want to walk together? I'd measure my pace to your pace so that we could stay together. If I invited you to go for a walk, in fact, I remember in high school, after our student ministry, after our youth group on Wednesday night, sometimes I would, every time almost, I would find Debbie and I would say, as the kids were hanging around talking and whatever, I'd say, hey, you want to go for a walk? And we'd go walk around the church property or whatever. And I was inviting her to talk with me. I was inviting her to hang out with me, a personal, just her and me kind of time. And a chance to hear her heart, listen to her heart, get to know her better, which was what my desire was and has continued to be my desire up to this day. And that's what Jesus wants. He's saying, hey, you want to go for a walk? I want to walk with you. I want you to keep in step with me. I want to share with you my heart, and I want to hear your heart. That's what he desires. But it's more than that, and you need to understand that you can walk in the Spirit, but that's not the only way you can walk. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul says this, and you saw this last week, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Do you see the contrast? You got two options. We either walk in the Spirit, or we wind up gratifying the desires of the flesh. He says this in Romans chapter 8, too. He says, your mind is either going to be governed by the flesh, or it's going to be governed by the Spirit. It is not going to govern itself. It will be driven by one of those two. So walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. In the next verse, he says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. He's just drawing the divide. It's either one or the other, friends, flesh or Spirit. And then Paul gives us a warning. He says, these are in conflict with one another. So don't do whatever you want. Because whatever you want may not be in alignment with the Spirit. We got to know what we're doing. He wants us to walk in the Spirit, not walk in the flesh. And the reason he tells us this is that because we have a natural bent. We have this natural bent to walk in the flesh. We are drawn to the desires of what the Bible calls the flesh. I want to explain it this way. When God created the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve, they looked like this. I'm going to use that three circle illustration that I use all the time. The Bible says in Genesis 2 that God formed the man from the dust of the earth, that's his body, and he breathed into him the breath of life, that's Hebrew for the spirit, and the man became a living being, which is Hebrew for the word soul. You've got a body, the first man and the first woman had this body and this soul and this spirit, and they actually, Genesis chapter 3 says, they actually walked with God in the Garden of Eden. I mean, you and I, we deal with the spiritual realm. They walked with God in the Garden of Eden, in the physical realm. And then you know, some of you know the narrative that Satan, who was in the garden, we'll talk about why and all that another day, Satan in the garden began to sow seeds of doubt in Adam and Eve's mind. And they came to distrust God, to not believe that he was trustworthy, to believe that he was holding out on them, that he didn't have their best intentions in mind. And when they didn't trust God, they turned away from God. Instead of going God's way, they went their own way. And the moment they did that, they became unplugged. And that's why there's an X over the word spirit, like a lamp. Like these lights that are shining up here, when they turned away from God, they came unplugged. The extension cord that connects us to God, not very long. Not very long. And they became unplugged. And when they became unplugged, they no longer wanted the things that God wanted. I mean, you really, there's only two things that exist anywhere. God and the things God has created. And when they became unplugged from God, their spiritual relationship died because he's the God of life. And all they were left with were the things that God created. And their hearts began to desire those things. And they became infected, kind of invaded by this force, this influence that the Bible calls sin. And really, don't think of it as just bad things that you do. Think of it as this influence that causes them, changes the way they think, changes the way they feel, changes the way they perceive things, such that now they distrust God and they want the very things that are contrary to God. And when a person is in this predicament, and they're separated from God, they become driven by three things. The first of those things is their own personal struggle with the desires of the flesh. I mean, that's why we use things like our job and money, which are means of provision. Instead of using as means of provision, we now use them to validate our worth. The more money we have, the more valuable we are. The more influence we have in our job, well, the more valid we are. Our jobs, remember all the cardboard boxes from a few weeks ago? Those cardboard boxes, our job was never meant to carry the weight of our identity and our self-esteem. But when we gravitate toward the desires of the flesh and are driven by them, we're hungry to be validated. And we're not validated by God, so we have to look for something else. We use social media, and there ain't nothing wrong with social media. But Snapchat and Facebook, instead of using that just as a way for us to connect with friends, we use it again as a way to validate our worth. And are we loved? And are we valuable? And we quantify it by little thumbs up or little hearts on our Instagram pictures. Instead of having a glass of wine for dinner, we use alcohol to cope. We use alcohol to escape. Instead of honoring women, we now objectify women and reduce their value to sexual gratification for men. I mean, sex. Sex is nothing wrong with sex. And God says, I have a way for this to be an amazing blessing for you in the confine of marriage. It's going to create intimacy and joy and safety and security for you. But when we follow the desires of the flesh, instead of finding it here in this marriage, we parcel it out indiscriminately and we fragment our soul. You know, our soul is that composition of our mind and our will and our emotions. It's our thoughts, our feelings, our decisions. It's your soul is that part of you that makes you different from me. Besides the physical differences, the soul is like all the ingredients of God's character parceled out and mixed in a unique recipe that makes you who you are. And when we're disconnected from God, our soul is driven by and bombarded and attacked by the desires of the flesh. It's not the only thing that attacks us, though. We also live in a world full of people who struggle with their own desires of the flesh, and they influence us, and sometimes they wound us and hurt us. And sometimes we measure ourselves by their responses, or we wonder if we're going the right way, and we look at them and they're going a different way, or what we're seeing on TV or what we're seeing in the media or whatever is going a different way. And so we want to go that way. We don't follow God. We follow the ways of the world, all the rest of the people who are themselves struggling with their own sin nature. But that's not even all that there is. Because in 1 Peter, well, actually in John, Jesus tells us that we have a spiritual enemy. Jesus personally calls him the father of lies, a spiritual being, Satan, who desires to manipulate and influence our soul, our feelings, our emotions, our decisions, our mind. So again, we are drawn and pushed toward the desires of the flesh. Paul, in Romans chapter 7, describes what it's like to be in this situation. He says this, I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Don't raise your hand, but you know what he's talking about, don't you? Of course you do. Of course I do. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I don't do the good that I want to do. Instead, the evil that I don't want to do, this is what I keep on doing. What a miserable place to be. But when we're in a place disconnected from God and I don't have any spiritual life inside of me, my soul is left relatively defenseless. And it's not that I go around murdering people and all of that, but there's no way without the Spirit of God in me, when I'm in this position, there's no way that I can please God, even though some of the things I do are good things. He says in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, I cannot please God if I'm living in the realm of the flesh following those desires. Why? Because what God made us for is relationship with Him. He wants us to walk with Him. He wants that special individual time, intimacy. I know, guys, that we don't always use that word a lot, but He wants a close relationship with you. He wants you to know personally your value. I don't remember the song, what we sang. There's a line this morning, Brian, we sang about a billion different failures disappeared. And that's just when I lost it over there. I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus, that 100 billion failures disappear. And that's just from last week. But that's what, you know how good it is when you think you've messed something up and then you find out those rare instances that you didn't. And you're like, whoo, or those times like you were on your phone in your car and you knew you shouldn't have been, and the car in front of you does not go through the yellow light like you think they are, and then you have to slam on your brakes. I'm just coming up with hypotheticals. I'm not talking about stuff I do. You know that feeling, you're like, whoo. Jesus wants you to feel that. He wants you to feel the freedom. But when we're in this predicament, we find ourselves not doing the things that we want to do. We find ourselves being the kind of people that we wish that we weren't. We can't please him because we can't please him unless we're in relationship with him. And this is what it looks like. This is the predicament we're in when we live according to the desires of the flesh. But this isn't the way he wants us to live. And when we turn to Jesus, when we say, you know what, I'm done with the desires of the flesh, we make that decision. Even though Paul says we make that decision, we don't have any power to live up to it. But we make that decision. We say, I am done with that. And God, I want to go your way. A lot of people think that's what Christianity is. I'm done with living following the desires of the flesh. And now, Jesus, I follow you. But that's only part of it. Because if that were all of it, we would continue to be failures. This illustration that Paul gives us would be our reality. But it's not our reality. Because what happens when we make that decision to turn away and we change our direction and we start to follow Jesus and we put our trust in him, he actually enters into a relationship with us. The Holy Spirit comes inside of us and all the power of God, all the power of God resides within us. Now, we're still bombarded by desires of the flesh and the rest of the world who is struggling with their desires of the flesh and our spiritual enemy, but we are no longer defenseless. Our mind, our feelings, our emotions, our decisions are no longer just being slung around like a dog on the end of a rope going wherever the master chooses for it to go. Now we have power to be different. And what the Holy Spirit does, the Holy Spirit begins to exert his influence over our mind, over our emotions and our decisions. He begins from the inside out. And that's the important thing. This inside out thing is really important. Because like imagine that you lived in the first century, okay? You're wearing a robe and you have sandals on, okay? Imagine that. Now, it'd be really cool because that's when Jesus was on the planet. So imagine you're on the planet when Jesus is on the planet and you live in one of the towns around the Sea of Galilee. Because that Jesus went to all those towns. So let's say you live in Capernaum. If you lived in Capernaum when Jesus was walking on the planet, then you would have gotten to see him do some of the miracles that you read about in the Bible. You'd have heard from his very lips the parables that you might have been taught as a child or you hear us talk about or read about in the Bible. That would have been really cool until Jesus went to Bethsaida. That's another town because you got a job or you have to go to school or whatever and you got to stay in Capernaum. And Jesus has gone on to Bethsaida. But what if you were one of the 12 disciples? You see, the 12 disciples, they got to go around with Jesus to all those cities. And they'd leave Capernaum and they'd go with him to Bethsaida. Now that would have been really cool. But only 12 people got to do that. And you may think, wow, how awesome it would have been. I used to think that. How awesome it'd be like to be one of those 12, you know, till they were all martyred. How awesome that would be. Except for the fact that in the most intense time of Jesus' life, the ambition and the fear and the insecurity of his 12 disciples who'd walked with him every step of the way, that fear got the best of them and they bolted and ran and abandoned him. Because simply having Jesus right there wasn't enough because there wasn't in that time power on the inside. But when Jesus died and was raised to life again, proving that he has power and authority over death, And he went into heaven. He told us in John 14 and 15 and 16 that he was going to send his Spirit to come live inside of us. And that's what Ephesians 1 tells us happens. When you believed, God placed within you, he marked you with a seal, the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit in us that guarantees that all the promises of God are for us. And now we actually have legitimate, real power from the inside out to influence our mind and our sense of resolve and our determination and the direction that we're going to go. And the more that we cultivate that relationship with the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Jesus, the more his influence grows. And we're going to see the Holy Spirit's influence grow right now as it exceeds. There we go. And this is, it changes everything about your life. It changes everything. And that's why John says, he says, you, dear children, are from God. That's changed. That's different. When the Holy Spirit is inside of you, when you're in a spiritual relationship with Jesus, whoever you were is not who you are now. Whatever past you had, however you defined yourself then, is not your reality now because Jesus changes it. And he has the authority to do that. Oh, I could be your counselor and you could come sit on the couch and I could say, well, you know, really, you are a good person and you're not nearly as bad as you think you are. And I'm sure some people like you somewhere and I could try to encourage you, right? But I don't have the ability, I don't have the authority to say, you're not who you used to be anymore. But Jesus can say that because he makes you a new person. And he dwells within you. And as you cultivate that relationship, as you walk with him, he speaks, he shares his heart. Just like Debbie and I shared our heart as we would walk, always after student ministry, not during, we'd never skip out. He wants you to walk with him. And when you do, and he influences your mind and your thoughts and your feelings, and you respond to those, because you can always resist, but when you respond to those, his influence grows even more. You know why? Because he says, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And so the desires of the flesh, which we still struggle with, I still struggle with. And I know we always think of that as being, you know, sexual purity and stuff. And that's part of it. But it's more than that. You understand? It's looking to answer that question, who am I? It's trying to find the answer in the world. It's trying to find the answer to who loves me and where do I belong in the world? Trying to define our purpose by what we accomplish in the world. But now he speaks and the desires of the flesh no longer dominate me. No longer have to dominate you. The world, I now look at the world differently and its influence. If anything that I experience in the world doesn't draw me closer to Jesus, then you know what? I'm done with that. It becomes sin to me. It may not be sin to you, but if something I'm watching on Netflix or Amazon Prime is causing me to think thoughts contrary to what the Spirit has for me, you know what? I'm done with that show. I may, you know what? They have awesome storytellers that are creating TV. TV's way better than Happy Days. Now, for those of you who are my age, way better than SpongeBob for the rest of you guys. They have great storytellers, but the story never ends, right? They always leave you hanging. There's always something more. And have you noticed that with every story, they have to turn up the intensity of the sexuality, or the shocking twist has to be bigger than the other one, otherwise you won't stay into it. And if those, and the violence has to increase or whatever, And I'm not your TV police. I'm just telling you how I live. If what I'm watching on Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatever is not drawing me closer to Jesus, if I find the themes and the thoughts and the pictures from that coming into my mind, distracting me from prayer, being in the Word, or causing me to have lustful thoughts or anxiety or insecurity about myself, you know what? I'm done with that. It has become sin to me. And you know what? That's why Paul said the flesh and the spirit are in conflict with one another. So don't do just whatever you want, because you have this natural, I have this natural bent to want to go this way. It appeals to me. But now with power, I can say, no, no, no. I'm going to resist that. Even though there's part of me that wants to walk that way, I believe that what the Spirit has is better for me, and I'm going to walk with the Spirit. This is really important. I was reading an article on Fox News the other day. Gisele Bündchen, you know her? Gisele is one of the top models. She's obviously beautiful. She's talented, a hard worker. She's incredibly wealthy. She's famous. She, you know, all the people that you read about in the news, she's those people. She's also married to Tom Brady, who in his own right is a good-looking guy, I've been told by my wife, and is wealthy and athletic and talented. He's the quarterback for the New England Patriots, which is almost as good as being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. But he's not the quarterback for A&M. Thank you. Okay. Just got to let that out of y'all every now and then. It's like a teapot. Gotta. But she wrote a biography called Her Path to a Meaningful Life. And in it, she talks about fear and insecurity and standing on the balcony of a hotel telling herself, if I just step over the rail, this will all be over. A life beset by fear and anxiety and insecurity. And yet she has every, and I don't know anything about her spiritual walk at all. So I'm not making a judgment there. I'm just saying there is not enough of the desires of the flesh or the world's affirmation to meet that need on the inside of you. And so Jesus says, hey, come walk with me. Would you come walk with me? I'm not talking about you being all religious. I'm not talking about you have to be at church every single Sunday. I'm just saying, would you come walk with me? And let me share my heart with you. And when I share my heart with you, I'm gonna show you the things that are dangerous for you. And I want to show you the right way, the right way, the best way, the healthiest, the most abundant, life-giving way for you. And I'm never going to leave you. I didn't say come run in the Spirit. I just said come walk in the Spirit. I'm going to go at a pace you can go, but I'm going to walk. And if you'll keep in step with me, then you will experience. This is what walking in the Spirit is right here. To walk in the Spirit is to give the Holy Spirit room to influence your mind, your will, and your emotions, and then to obey. It does me no good to just know the heart of God. I got to resolve, I'm going to obey. I'm going to follow you. Is that what you love? I'm going to align myself with that. God, is this what you don't like? I hate to point to you all. I'm not pointing to you all. Is this what you despise? Then, God, I'm going to despise it too. And when I walk in the Spirit, giving him room to influence me and then obeying him, then I find the desires of the flesh and the enemy and the influence of the world no longer dominate me, because the one who's in me is stronger than the one who is in the world. I'm going to give you a way. We're going to do this every single week. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward, and they're going to give to you what I call a listening card. All right, you may need more guys, or just hand out a bunch and let them go along the edge. I want everybody, just hand out a stack and we'll collect the extras later, okay? But you're going to get a listening card. Go to the next screen. Go to the two screens ahead of me, would you? The one that shows the listening card. Because I'm going to show you, I'm just going to help you practice a way of walking in the Spirit. Now, for this to work, you got to be surrendered to Jesus. That's when the Spirit comes to you. But I believe this too. I believe that when we're seeking God, He is drawing, we're seeking Him because He's drawing us. And He wants to reveal His truth to you so that you'll come into a relationship with Him. And so one of the most important aspects of walking in the Spirit, staying in step with the Spirit, is learning to discern the spiritual voice of Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, 15, and 16, that the Holy Spirit would speak to us. And we didn't have to go, "Whoa, that's weird. Oh, that freaks me out." He said, "No, no, no. The Holy Spirit will only speak to you the things that I tell Him to say." So that means you can trust it. And as you've heard me say a million different times, when we submit our minds to the Word of God and we walk in community with the people of God, we can rightly discern the voice of God through His Spirit. And so we're going to look at a scripture. And what I want you to do in that listening card, if you don't have a pencil, raise your hand. They'll get some pencils around to you too. Just hand out a bunch. If you wind up with five or six, don't stick them in your pocket. Just put them on the floor or something. Give them back to the ushers later. Just give pencils to folks. Give a bunch. Just hand out a handful or whatever. And they'll pass them around each other. Crowdsourcing is what we call that. I want you to write your name in that blank. One of the things we always do, if our enemy cannot keep us from being in the Word of God, you know what he'll do? He'll try to keep us thinking at the soul level. Here's some over here, we need some. At the soul level, we'll use our minds to determine what the best idea is out of this or what we're supposed to do. And we'll think really hard about it, but there's something more than that. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. They know me and they obey me," which means He speaks and we can discern His spiritual voice. And we can measure it against the Word of God. And if we're not sure, we can run it by our life group and say, "Hey guys, this is what I feel like God is impressing upon me." God always speaks positive things to you, even when He's correcting us. He's never condemning. He might say, "Hey, this thing you're engaged in is not my best. I have something better. Would you come this way?" He uses kindness, Romans tells us. He uses kindness to draw us back to Him. He always speaks positively, no condemnation, even when He's convicting us. But we often don't realize, or we often depersonalize this relationship when it is inherently personal. And so I want you to write your name in there, just like I have there. And we're going to read a passage of Scripture together. You're going to read it quietly a couple of times through. I'm going to pray first, and you're going to read. And then I want you to practice something, okay? I want you to let the Holy Spirit complete that sentence. "Jason, I want you to know." And I want you to write what comes to mind. He's gonna stir your mind around what you've read in the Scripture. He's gonna stir your mind around where His heart is and what He has for you. He's not gonna speak out of alignment with Scripture, but He's gonna make it come alive to you. I wanna show you this. This is perhaps one of the most important ways that I continue to walk in the Spirit. Okay, and you don't have to do it this way all the time, but I think it'll be helpful. So go to the next slide. And let me pray for us. And then I want you to read this quietly. And I want you to ask yourself, just think, what must be true about God in this? Jesus, would you, you said that the Holy Spirit was our teacher. So God, we're asking for the Holy Spirit to teach us. As we read right now, would you employ your power so that it's more than just our minds, but we read and understand in concert with your Spirit. We ask for this right now in Jesus' name. Okay, let's just read that thing through. What must be true about God? And maybe what must be true about people. Now, personally, just say, Jesus, it's actually the Holy Spirit who's going to do it. Just give the Holy Spirit room and begin writing. We can test it and measure it later. But I want you to see how close he is. Just begin to complete the sentence. Let the Holy Spirit complete the sentence of what he wants you to know. I want you to, it always helps me at the end, after I'm doing this, and you keep doing that, to write, to express my response to the thoughts that the Holy Spirit has impressed upon me with an I will statement. Sometimes I'll embrace a truth he's given me just now, or there's something I will commit to doing or stop doing. Or sometimes I will reach out to love or forgive someone. But write an I will statement, your response to what the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart. Sometimes there's things that get in the way of our hearing God. On November 10th, we're going to have a teaching session on Saturday. It's called Freedom in the Family or Freedom for the Family. And we're going to talk about the things that actually get in the way of our children hearing God and how to help remove those things. Sometimes we have trouble with that. Sin gets in our way. Guilt, lies get in our way. And I want you to know God wants you to hear his voice. And like any relationship, the more you practice, the more you put yourself in a position to read his word and give him time to speak to you as you reflect, the quicker and the truer you'll understand what he's speaking to your heart. We're going to do it next week too, but I want to encourage you to do that this week. But I also know this, that sometimes when we do this, painful memories can sometimes come up or regret. And that's not what God wants for you. God wants joy for you. And so I want us to do this. I want you to stand with me, and the team is going to lead us in a song. And I want our prayer team to real quickly take a place somewhere around the room, up front, anywhere. And there may be something you heard today or that you're feeling. I want you to let our team pray for you. Could some of you guys come around, maybe closer up here to the front of the stage, maybe around the edge there? Thanks, Olivia. And this is one of the best things we offer on Sunday morning that takes us out of just the realm of somebody talking at you, is the chance to be blessed in prayer for one of our prayer team members just to go to bat for you. Maybe you know what you want them to pray. Like if I said, don't do it, but if I said, hey, if you want prayer today, would you just raise your hand? If there's a need you've got in your heart, a relationship, a job struggle, a fear, a worry, whatever, a regret, I'm telling you, God moves in prayer. But he almost never works in isolation. He loves to involve his people. And so today as we sing and worship, I want to give you the chance. Just come and be prayed for. Take a step. Take a step of boldness and confidence and humility. And let one of our people just pray for you. Don't leave without that blessing, okay? You come now as our team leads us in worship.